brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing religious fanatic. Doug, somebody told me I got to put most popular back in there.
Mostly, you're the most popular in my book.
This is Bob Inyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
Amen, brother, and I'm Doug McBurney sitting in. Normally, I'm the host of the Weekly Worldview exclusively at KGOV.com, but I like to sit in Friday nights with Bob Inyart Live here on the Information Radio Network.
That's right, and Bob Inyart Live is also on KGOV.
Oh, of course.
So people can get it anytime, anywhere.
On the web.
Hey, Doug, Rocky Mountain News today.
Yeah?
This is the coldest March since the 60s.
Coldest since the 60s.
Where's the global warming?
Well, so much for the global warming crowd.
I want my global warming.
It has been chilly and snowy.
I want my global warming. Coldest March since the 60s.
Wow.
They didn't even have emissions back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s, there was a lot of emissions going on. Oh, like yeah. Right around Woodstock and all that. There was a lot of emissions going
on. They did. They even had cars back then.
Hey, it's interesting that you start with a story from the local news because that's what I wanted to talk about first. Mm. How the local news ruined my morning. You know, I watch the local news. Folks out there in the audience, by the way, the number to call, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, if you want to be on the air.
Doug, I can't watch the local news in Colorado.
You can't?
No.
Well,
because Denver, I came from New York City. Well, right near the George Washington Bridge in New Jersey.
Right.
And I came to Denver, and there you got news. News at 11.
Yeah.
Here, it was on at 10.
Right.
Sometimes 9. And you, I turned it on first time. And they were doing a report about kids from some fifth grade going to the mountains to cut down a Christmas tree.
Why, that's delightful.
I couldn't believe it.
That's news?
Where's the news? What are they doing? They led with this. Well, and then after that, somebody came on and analyzed it. They did an analysis of why the kids went in that part of the mountains and took that particular kind of tree.
Uh-huh.
I could since then, now it's been many years.
Yeah.
Nathaniel, how old are you? My son's in the studio
He's
audience.
He's 15.
He's 16. So this has been 16 years of not watching the news because of that one story, the Colorado local news.
And they probably followed that up with some stories about cows.
So you watched. Wait
a minute. I only watch the local news for one reason.
Why?
And that's to gather material for this program.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's a sacrifice.
Right. I have to do it because it's part of my job.
All right.
But I turned on the news this morning. And I saw a rather compelling story about a high-speed chase. Some scary video, by the way. They showed the video of a vehicle, a SUV, swerving through traffic, smacking into cars, chasing pedestrians from the sidewalk.
Yeah, that's all attempted murder. That's attempted murder. That's what that guy was doing.
Watching the video, you're like clutching the side of the couch, hoping nobody gets killed. Well, the police finally caught the guy.
Oh yeah!
Through a maneuver, they had to maneuver one vehicle into his vehicle to get this lunatic off the road.
And you know the cops practice that, and they're good at that.
Yeah,
you hit the back of their tire, you get them off the road, and it's a pretty sophisticated move.
Yeah,
I heard about this on the radio, but I didn't see the video.
It was beautiful the way they pulled it off.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the story, Bob.
No,
the story was after they handcuffed this lunatic and got him on the ground. Apparently, an officer kicked him.
Right.
And perhaps now, we just heard this evening, perhaps there was a punch as well after they had this guy down.
Know he was kicked.
Well, we know he was kicked. It's right on video.
You can see the kick, and the police department's admitted he was kicked.
But the punch is still yet alleged. But the kick definitely happened. I saw it with my own eyes.
Right.
But my question to you, Bob.
That doesn't prove anything. Just because you have something on video doesn't prove it. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead. What's the question?
My question to you. Is if a man is driving in a manner that he's smacking into other vehicles, running pedestrians for their lives off the sidewalk, and at any given time, each one of these incidents is witnessed by 3 to 10 police officers during a 20-minute chase.
Right, right.
At the end of the chase, haven't they seen enough?
You're saying they're so charged emotionally, their adrenaline? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, that's not really what I'm saying.
The headline today, if I remember, one of the local papers, was Cop Kicks Man.
The cop kicking. Yeah.
The
Denver cop kicking incident.
It was a cop kicker story. Instead of cop killer, it's a cop kicker.
Right.
And that is the headline? That's
the
story?
Mm.
I mean, the story should be this guy, this criminal guy, and how bad of a guy he was. And the fact that the cop kicked him at the end of a chase like that, his superior officer should have said, don't do that again.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
But now there's a major investigation. There's probably going to be assault charges.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is in Colorado, I don't know about everywhere, and I'm not a lawyer. That's why I'm qualified to be a talk show host. I'm not a lawyer, but I think that there are laws that say fighting words. Like,
right.
For example, if you go up to a guy in a restaurant and you say, your wife is coyote ugly.
Ooh.
And he slugs you in the mouth.
Yeah.
And you go to court, he's charged with assault.
Yeah.
Well, the judge is going to look at you and say, you deserve to get slugged in the mouth.
Yeah.
Because them are fighting words.
Exactly.
That's what we say in the West. I don't know what they do in Connecticut. But in
the West, they keep the G on. They say fighting words instead of fighting words.
And they don't say them are fighting words.
Right.
Those were fighting words.
Yeah.
And so you get slugged in the mouth because you deserved it.
Right, because you provoked it.
Yeah, and the judge will say, now, try not to slug other people in the mouth. But to the guy who said your wife was coyote ugly, he said, you deserved it. Now, the cops deserve some of that same kind of common sense protection. Some guys almost killed them, almost killed others. Adrenaline, it's like you're on a battlefield today in America.
Yeah.
It's like you're in war. And so the cops are on edge because they're at war with people who are sometimes outgunning them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're human beings. We're not machines. And if they would have beat him to death or if they would have dismembered him,
right,
then those are crimes. But in this situation, his superior officer should have said, don't do that again.
Right. I mean, moments earlier, the cops pulled a move on this vehicle that could have killed the guy, which tells me that the cops were in their right. Were within their right to use deadly force to stop this guy.
Oh, to stop him, absolutely.
So they definitely were within their rights to almost kill him with this maneuver that flipped over his truck. They get him outside. The guys are a little bit on edge. They've been chasing him for 20 minutes.
When somebody's threatening innocent people like that, if it wasn't for the fact that Mayor Wellington Webb is such a sissy, the cops should have just tried to put a bullet in the guy's
head. Amen. That was my question,
Bob. Stop him at the beginning.
If the police officers witnessed crime after crime after crime,
right.
Attempted murder after attempted murder.
I met a punk in Jefferson County Jail who was in jail because he was shotgun in a stolen car.
Mm-hmm.
The police start to chase him. They run through a red light and hit a van with a family and kill a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, wow.
So he says to me, he says, and this is the first day he's in jail. He's in intake, what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, I shouldn't even be here. I wasn't driving.
Oh.
And I said, you're right. You shouldn't be here. You should be dead.
Amen.
Because you're an accomplice to a crime that killed a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you should, if I were the judge, if Christians had written the laws in this country, then you would be executed for being complicitous in that girl's death.
Well, the big story isn't that the cops caught an attempted cop killer, by the way. That's why they were chasing him.
It's not a cop killer story.
It's a cop kicking. Yet another cop kicking.
Cop kicker.
Hello, my name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob Enyart Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable. It's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob Enyart Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707, or go on the web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, we'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Benyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
Here's another tidbit, Doug, out of the Rocky Mountain News. Today, a federal appeals court has ruled that Idaho motorists can still drive high on marijuana.
They haven't watched them, you know?
They can do it. They can drive in Idaho.
Where was it? In Idaho?
So all potheads today...
flocking to Idaho.
...have given their two-week notice, and they're headed to Idaho.
No, they'd never... Potheads would never make it in Idaho. Too much manual labor going on.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, let's go to Delphi, Indiana. All right, Doug, and we'll talk with Wally. Speak your mind.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Great.
Good, Wally.
Nice to talk to you, Bob and Doug.
Wally, how far are you from South Bend?
Oh, probably about, well, we're definitely out of radio range.
All right.
Well, I just heard that tragic story this morning about the another factory shooting. Another guy goes nuts in a factory and
we've
the place
heard
up.
About that today.
That just happened in Elkhart down the road.
Right, right.
What terrible things going on in this country. Wally, if you're outside of radio range, we're on in Notre Dame country there in South Bend. How are you listening to the show?
Well, on the phone right now.
That'll work.
There we go. Okay,
that's the only way to get it.
Occurred to me.
That's the only way for Wally to get it is to call in.
Call up, make believe they want to talk, and then they stay on hold for an hour.
Yeah, that's a good way
that explains
it.
That's why our bills are through the roof.
Hey, I've got a question for you guys concerning this dog mauling in
San Francisco. Yeah.
And you mean the dog murder? It wasn't a mauling. It was actually a killing.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Yeah.
Now, according to what I understand from God's law, that if an ox thrusts his head or has gored someone,
come on now, don't quote the Bible on us, Wally.
You can't just quote the Bible outright, Wally.
You've got to warn. So let's do a warning first.
Okay.
Warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we here at Bob and Yurt Live know that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
All right. Fasten your seat, though.
Very good. Wally, are you quoting Exodus 21? You know, this chapter is right after the Ten Commandments chapter.
Exodus 21.
So this
I kind of got it written down here. It's paraphrased from memory, actually. So.
All right. That's all right.
That works for us, Wally.
Go ahead.
Okay, so if an ox thrusts his head or has gored someone, that the owner should tie it up, and if it kills someone, that the owner is responsible. Now, according to God's punishment that he laid out, there's restitution, flogging, or the death penalty.
Okay, there's a little, your memory didn't serve you completely accurately.
Okay.
If an ox gores a man or a woman to death,
okay,
and for the woodenly literal among us, that also includes kids.
Okay.
If an ox gores someone to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned.
Okay.
PETA be damned, the ox be stoned.
Stone the ox.
That's what it says right there. PETA be damned, the ox be stoned.
And he's not driving in Idaho either.
Right. So the owner isn't responsible.
If the ox gores someone to death, the ox shall be stoned, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. He's not guilty because the ox murdered the killed the person,
mm-hmm.
not the owner. But then there's a but. Exodus 21:29. If the ox tended to thrust in times past,
mm-hmm.
if it had a reputation of being a dangerous animal, then, and the owner knew it, and the owner knew it, then he has not kept it confined so that it has killed a man or a woman, then the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. So the fact that we got a guilty conviction in San Francisco, well, it was in L.A.
We moved the trial.
Praise the Lord that we got a guilty conviction for murder.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. It may be only because the victim was a lesbian, but still thankful that we got a guilty conviction for murder. Sadly, the husband didn't get the murder conviction also.
Which I cannot comprehend. If a man and a woman keep vicious animals in an apartment building,
right?
That they're both.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that he wasn't there. Yeah, that, so God doesn't say here, but if the owner was not present.
Right.
No, it says if it has been made known to the owner
that
it was a dangerous animal. So was it made known to the owner?
Yes, it was.
Well, 30 different witnesses testified about incidents with these animals.
Yeah, and even the caretaker that they originally got the dogs from.
Right,
the caretaker said this dog should be shot because he's too dangerous. So anyway, too bad we can't execute this couple, but I do praise the Lord that we got a guilty conviction on murder.
Well, if that's the case, then so let's apply that same philosophy or the same God's law to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold's parents.
Okay, they should not be put to death.
Okay.
They should not be because they're human beings, and human beings, you could have wonderful parents raise terrible, terrible kids and some really neat kids. Because kids, you could train a dog to be a killer.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings, you could do that with human beings too, but we have free will and we got to buy into it.
Right.
We have a level of intellect and spirituality above animals.
Okay.
So, but if the parents were negligent in some ways, they could be somewhat culpable in some way, but not guilty of the crime. Mm-hmm. Right?
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Wally.
Pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Wally, from Indiana.
Cool.
All right. Where do you want to go now? We got a lesbian on line one.
Well, wait a minute. I got a story about a lesbian. We've got competing lesbians. Dueling lesbians right here on Bob Enyart Live. Right. This is related to the dog mauling.
The live lesbian or the Memorex?
We're going to go with the tape. Lesbian.
Go ahead. The story lesbian.
Yeah. Sharon Smith. You all know Sharon Smith. She's the former partner of the lesbian who was eaten by the dog.
Oh, she is famous now.
She's become quite the cause celeb. She's helped gain passage in California of state legislation allowing same-sex partners to sue for wrongful death.
Great.
And she also...
That's just like my first cousin, Michael Gluccio in New Jersey.
That's who I thought of when I read this
changing
story.
The state law so that homos can now adopt babies when he adopted his first of three children, Adam, the little baby.
Yeah, unbelievable. Sharon Smith started a foundation in Whipple's name, Diane Whipple's name, the Whipple Foundation to promote homosexual rights and I'm sure adoption and all that other, all the stuff that go, all the ancillary disgusting things that go along with homosexuality in general.
So, when homosexuals are killed, they are sainted.
Yes, certainly.
Into the sainthood.
And Diana Whipple is right up there with St. Matthew of Assisi.
And Diana Whipple of Assisi.
Oh boy, all right. Maybe we should go to the calls.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a lesbian in Minneapolis. Wait a minute, where's St. Cloud?
St. Cloud is St. Cloud, Minnesota. Minneapolis is in Minnesota.
Yeah, we got two calls from Minnesota.
What are the odds of that?
All right, let's go to, well, I guess there's 50 states. One out of 50. We can figure that one out. One out of 2,500.
All right.
Let's go, let's keep the lesbian on hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we got a normal person online, too.
Let's go to the heterosexual.
Okay, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Dan, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob and Doug.
Dan.
Yeah, I think I know who's on the other line, but anyway.
Well, it's nice to hear from a heterosexual male. How's it going?
Oh, great. How are you guys?
Great.
Hey, I want to talk to you real brief here about absolutes and a little bit what I've heard about absolutes on the show with Rusty the other night.
Oh, yeah.
As well as another show you did maybe a few weeks ago with Eva.
Uh-huh.
I protest abortion every Friday with my wife here in St. Cloud at a Planned Parenthood office.
All right.
And usually some people always try to confront us, usually younger males. And we always get into a debate, and what I use is the argument I've learned from your show about absolutes.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
Yeah, and tonight
that's why we do
again.
The show.
I use the same argument I heard the other night with you and Rusty about is it absolutely wrong to murder like Hitler murdering the 6 million, or the Nazi Party murdering 6 million Jews.
Yes, yes.
You ask them if it's absolutely wrong, and then they say, well, you ask them, is it absolutely wrong? Do you believe in absolutes? And then you ask them,
what do they say?
Wrong.
What do they say at first when you say?
They say they do not believe in absolutes.
Well, they do? Not. You mean just the average moron on the street?
Right.
Not just somebody set up on a talk show, but the average moron
on
the street.
Do you believe in absolute? Do you believe in absolute, right? Absolute wrong?
They've been trained to answer no. Yeah, they've been.
And then I
to
ask them, was it wrong for the Nazis to murder 6 million Jews?
And then they say, yes.
They say, oh, in my opinion, I don't think it was right.
Right, in their opinion.
Right, right.
And what I've determined is, and you probably already knew this, but whenever they say, in my opinion,
you kick them.
You hit a brick wall. And I think you what it means is, yeah. When they say that, that means, no, sir, I am not ready to change my worldview.
Exactly.
Right. And so what they're saying, in my opinion, it's wrong for 6 million Jews to be murdered. But, no, it's not absolutely wrong.
Yeah, that's what they're
saying. So that there are other people like the Nazis who, in their opinion, it was right.
Mm-hmm.
So your opinion says it's wrong. Their opinion says it's right. So you have different opinions.
I brought that up, and it always comes to, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say it. And I say, well, what if you've never existed? Would it still be absolutely wrong? They can't say it. But they can only say, in my opinion.
Because they know if they say there is such a thing as absolute right and wrong, and it is absolutely wrong to rape a woman, they're immediately, intuitively acknowledging there is a God of justice.
Exactly. And that's what probably, if I thought about it, I would have figured it out. But
and they're there to kill their kid.
Yeah, they brought it really their wife home, and I'm like, that right. means you're not ready to change your worldview. And just to wrap it up, this guy I was talking to, I talked to him for maybe another 20 minutes.
Hey, Dan, if they went to public school, they don't know the term worldview, so use something simple.
Oh, yeah, I got to simplify. What I've determined is this kid grew up in church. He knows about Jesus, but he said, no, I am not ready to accept him. I do not want to give up myself.
Yep.
Yeah, that was like Rusty, who
right.
said, I am the God
That's
who
right.
judges myself.
I am the God by whom I will be judged. Yeah. So, you know, whenever they say, in my opinion, they're basically letting you know whose opinion is really important to them.
Theirs.
It's their
opinion. It's about self. And I said, you are not God, but you are not ready to serve the Creator.
And when you use that approach of absolutes, you either can teach them in 60 seconds something that they never learned in their whole life, mm-hmm. or you could at least humiliate them and manipulate them into admitting that they were wrong, or you solidify them in their hatred of God.
Mm-hmm.
And any of those outcomes is preferable to not confronting them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And maybe he learned something. I learned he's not ready to change his worldview.
Yeah. All right.
He wants to worship himself and
all right. Dan,
hit a brick wall.
Dan, thank you.
Dan, and also thank you for being a witness out at that abortion.
Yeah, and I want to encourage everybody out there. All right.
Yes, they got the encouragement, but we got to go to the lesbian now.
Oh, no.
In Minneapolis before the bottom of the hour news.
Oh, no.
All right. I think this is Eva, the evil lesbian, or an impersonator. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, E.E. What's going on?
E.E.?
Yeah.
Well, hello. Is that Doug?
This is Doug.
Well, glad to meet you.
Glad to meet you, Eva, over the airwaves, anyways.
Yeah. I think I know who that person you were talking to is.
Uh-oh.
Dan from St. Cloud.
That's who he was, all right.
Yeah, I know him.
You must have inside information.
Yeah. Well, Eva, we understand that there's not that many people in Minnesota, but don't try to give your state a bad name. I mean, come on, everybody doesn't know everybody in Minnesota.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Dan Super from St. Cloud.
Well, my guess is that Dan frequents a completely different crowd than you do, though.
But anyway, Eva.
I do.
So
I
what's
have
up?
Never met him in person. I've met him through the Bob Enyart Live e-group.
Okay,
there we go. So, Eva, what's up?
What's up?
Yes.
Well, I was just going to call to chat with you about Rusty's performance, because I thought he did very well on that show a few days ago.
All right.
He made you look like a fool.
All right. Let me ask you a couple questions about Rusty's appearance on Bob Enyart Live. All right? And we'll get your take on it. When we started out, and I asked Rusty if he believed that there was an absolute right and an absolute wrong, and he immediately answered no. All right? We're going to go to the news, come back, and ask you what you thought of that.
It's Bob Enyart Live. Doug McBurney here, and it's a live commercial, by golly, and I'm not sure what to say. Oh, no, I do know what to say.
What, Doug?
You know, when I came into the studio, you know what the first thing I did was?
I hope you bought something.
I did.
I need the money.
I made a beeline for Bob's stash of awesome products, and I picked up two of the Train Up a Child packages.
Oh, those kids. Train Up a Child kids. Now, you're a co-host on Friday night, so surely you don't pay. You just pick it up.
No, I pay. In fact, I pay full retail, and I never ask for a discount.
You don't?
Well, that would be kind of rude to ask my friend for a discount.
It's rude of me to let you pay.
No, what it is the products are such high quality, Bob.
Put up your dukes.
I've got a guy.
I'm going to kick
you. I've got a guy with a seven-month-old son. And he's getting ready to childproof the whole house. Rubber bumpers all over the place.
Oh.
And I said, hey, man.
He needs to houseproof his child.
He needs to houseproof. You need to train your child. I said, I got a book I'm going to send you. I got the book tonight. I'm going to put it in the mail to him.
Well, who is this guy? Not his name, but does he know much about life?
Or? He's a Harvard graduate.
He's
very erudite and intelligent and very successful
with
a beautiful wife and a beautiful son.
Oh.
They just started a family.
A beautiful son who will become a hellion.
If he doesn't train him.
What's the percent chance that the average young baby in America is going to be miserable within 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
Well, overwhelming.
This guy, his wife is staying home, and he's working double, triple time. I mean, this guy is one of the hardest working guys I know.
Cool.
And probably hasn't had time to sit down and think about training a child like me.
How do you train up a child?
I had no idea, but I read that
book. So we resell a great book called To Train Up a Child.
The whole package.
And it comes with an audio tape of two sermons from Denver Bible Church.
Yeah.
That I gave on how to raise a child.
Yeah.
The one is called Tyrant Dad.
Tyrant Dad.
Tyrant Dad.
And Train Up a Child. Two just phenomenal.
So great. So anyway, you're going to give that to...
I got those out of here. I got those in my bag. And last week, Bob...
What does that kit cost?
It's $19.95.
$19.95
for the whole package.
Right? No. I think it's less.
How much
is the Train Up a Child?
Well, I'm paying $19.95, but that's because I'm your friend.
Oh, I think it's $14.95.
Plus
shipping and handling.
Okay.
Shipping and handling is $48.
But last week, Bob, last week...
Not really.
I sent out a copy of one of your books, the book called The Plot.
Oh.
I sent that out to a facial and hand surgeon who I've gotten to know over the past few months.
Oh.
Who he's interested in the Bible, he's interested in God. I think he's a Christian. I'm pretty sure he is.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, does he need to know the Bible better. And
okay.
So I sent him the plot. It only cost me $39.95, and I get to change this guy's life.
It's only $29.95 for the plot.
I paid $39.
We've got to keep you around, Doug. All right, hey, Doug.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Eva, the evil lesbian from Minneapolis.
Uh-huh.
On line one.
Double E.
But the people who listened to the show when Rusty called in, we played excerpts of it again last night.
It was so awesome.
It was fun. In the excerpts, Jason Troyer edited together.
Is that who did that? That was tremendous editing.
Yeah, he took a 20-minute call down to 2.5 minutes.
It's tremendous.
And he captured the entire gist of the call.
Yeah, it was great.
And the homosexuals who listened, they all seemed to think that Rusty won.
Is that right? Even the homosexuals?
I don't know if they absolutely think that Rusty won. But they see, in their opinion, Rusty won.
Oh, in their opinion, okay.
But whether it's absolutely that he won, I don't know that they're prepared to take that kind of stand.
No, I don't think so. I don't think even Eva is prepared to make
that
statement.
Say that he absolutely won.
In fact, let's find out. Eva, did Rusty absolutely win that debate?
He certainly absolutely, that was a slam dunk for Rusty.
Okay, is this just your opinion or is this absolute truth?
Absolute truth. He absolutely won.
And that's a point I've made for years, Doug, that with homosexuals, they will tell you that there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute morality or absolutely right or wrong.
Yeah.
But Ronald Reagan is absolutely the most evil man who's ever breathed on the planet.
Eva, I
think that you're just taking contrarian positions. You're taking contrarian positions to try to be entertaining.
Ronald Reagan, let's talk about what Ronald Reagan did.
No. I'm putting you on hold. That was just an example. We're not going to get derailed to Ronald Reagan. Eva, I'm going to bring it back and ask you, when Rusty said that he did not believe in absolute right and wrong.
Referendum.
Eva?
She's been talking the whole time on hold.
I put her on hold.
Unbelievable.
She's just talking.
See what happens when you stay home alone too much?
Eva, you're on hold. Eva, you're on hold. I'm going to bring you off hold to answer this question first. Then you could ask me a question if you like, or Doug. The question first is, when I asked Rusty, do you believe in absolute right an absolute wrong, and he said no, tell me what you thought of that first response. Eva, go ahead.
Hello?
We're here, Eva.
Well, hi there. How are you?
We're pretty good.
Eva, well, that's good.
Eva, could you answer that question, then I'll let you have a question.
Well, I just wanted to tell you about how my cat's doing.
Okay. All right. Bye, Eva.
Eva has lost Eva has lost even any semblance of entertaining or
right.
Just nothing. There's nothing there.
Right. And it's too bad. It could have been interesting to have a discussion.
Well, she probably needed a couple drinks, whatever.
Eva's had her clock cleaned once on the show.
Yeah. She sends me emails. You know what she does, Bob?
Yeah.
Ever since you embarrassed her on the air, she sends me emails that are snippets of chats between her and other perverts on her chat group, which is called Sodom List.
Wow. Okay.
You know, it's like, you want to go to hell? Sign up for the Sodom List. Anyway, they're just disgusting. Eva, I really don't need to get any more of those. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I need those about as much as I need another call from you. All right.
All right. Hey, Doug, did you know in Colorado... Now, we shouldn't be doing all these Colorado stories.
Well, that's okay. Colorado's an interesting place.
We're violating the rules.
A lot of people want to be here. They think of Colorado, and they think, boy, I'd like to go to Colorado.
Well, if they come to Colorado, they could visit Denver Bible Church.
Right, and they could go skiing.
We've got a lot of people this summer coming to visit.
Oh, it's going to be a great summer.
Yeah, and if they visit in the winter, they go skiing.
Yeah.
And you still got plenty of good skiing time. Okay, in Colorado, we issue birth certificates that occasionally list the parents from both the same sex.
What?
Like two lesbians.
On a birth certificate.
Yeah, we do that in Colorado.
Okay.
And there are some legislators that are saying we should stop that. At least there are some.
Yeah.
And this Republican from Thornton, Colorado.
Right. Denver suburb.
Not far from here.
Yeah.
Said, here's the quote. The creation of a child takes one man and one woman. At least... So far.
He's pretty good so far.
Takes one child, one man and one woman, and a birth certificate should reflect that. Now, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So this person is saying we should stop issuing these lesbian birth certificates.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds bogus to me if you list two people of the same sex. Sounds like fraud.
If they were going to issue a lesbian gift certificate saying this child was a gift to you, but of course homosexuals shouldn't be parents.
No, they certainly should not be given that gift.
But anyway, so not a birth certificate. But then she goes on to say this. She says, it is unfortunate that a court believes, because a court ruled that you could issue lesbian birth certificates.
Yeah.
She says, it takes one man and one woman. It is unfortunate that a court believes it can rule outside the intent of the legislature.
The legislature?
Right, that's what I thought. That's the same thing I thought. Now, those of you in the audience, do you know why Doug's laughing? If you're intuitive, you know. God is the one who set up one man, one woman. They didn't pass a law that says that. It's not like the legislature said, oh, yeah, and to have a birth, you need one man and one woman. That was God.
Yeah.
And she should have said, It's unbelievable that a court can rule outside of reality.
Yeah, the rule of the creator, maybe.
Right.
How about that?
Not outside of our rules.
The legislature. You know, these people, you spend enough time in elected office, and I believe you actually start to think that you're important in the grand scheme of things.
Even that you're almost God.
Almost omnipotent.
Because, you know, the only person that can justly issue arbitrary laws
right.
is God.
That's true.
God has never delegated to man or government the authority to issue arbitrary laws. That's going beyond the bounds of government when the government issues arbitrary criminal laws.
Mm.
That's wrong.
They're ruling outside the will of
it's a problem.
Of the creator. Speaking of the creator,
yeah.
Bob, now this story is from England. Now, we've been doing Colorado.
We have
go international
in
for
England.
A little bit. We do have I've got at least one. Oh.
We have three United Kingdom postal.
Oh, that's right.
Postal workers who listen to this show.
Right.
On when they're delivering the mail on their routes.
Yes.
Three of them.
And they, you know what they do? They have MP3 players.
Yes.
They're cutting edge postal workers.
That's right.
You know? Anyway, I've got a story just for them.
Yeah.
The Bishop of Oxford. You've all heard of Oxford, right?
Oxford.
The Bishop
that's
of
where Bill
Oxford.
Clinton went.
Bill Clinton went there for a time.
Almost got kicked out. Sexual assaulting.
Well, there were some issues. None of that's all still alleged, you know.
Oh.
But this isn't alleged. The Bishop of Oxford yesterday Not yesterday, because this story is from...
It's too alleged. How do you know?
This
is alleged.
Well, no.
Everything's alleged. Nothing can be known.
Well, that's true.
But go ahead.
You know what? I'm not... We shouldn't even do... fact, we should just go home.
Everything's alleged.
Everything's alleged.
Some alleged reporter
right.
said that we don't really know if Clinton raped Juanita Broderick.
Right, exactly.
That's the alleged journalist's mm-hmm. statement.
Right. We don't know if Hillary Clinton hid any documents from investigators. We just don't know, nor can we know.
Right.
It's all very unknowable.
There are no absolutes.
An alleged paper in England called The Guardian in London okay. says the Bishop of Oxford...
Allegedly says
that teachers who promote anti-evolutionary theories bring Christianity into disrepute.
Oh, brother. So in other words, if they teach creationism, if a
right.
teacher, if a Christian teacher
mm-hmm.
tells the kids that God created us, you did not evolve from slime.
Right.
Then he's saying that brings Christianity into
disrepute. He says it brings it into disrepute. This is the Right Reverend Richard Harries.
He's right, too.
In England, they have right reverends.
The right reverend.
And I think Jesse Jackson's a right reverend.
As opposed to the left reverends.
Like the left reverends.
Jackson is definitely a left reverend.
Jackson and Sharpton are left reverends. This is the Right Reverend Harries right there at Oxford. He says he's saddened that Christians should oppose evolution, which he says, quote, far from undermining faith, it deepens faith.
It sure does deepen faith.
That's what he says.
I mean, you really got to... by the Brooklyn Bridge to believe that we've evolved from slime.
You have to have a lot of faith.
From goo through the zoo to you.
To you.
How do you pull that off?
That's got to be magic. Anyway, the Right Reverend says, historians of science note how quickly the late Victorian Christian public accepted evolution. It is therefore quite extraordinary that here we are, 140 years later, after so much evidence has accumulated, that a school in Gateshead, England, is opposing evolutionary theory.
Okay.
He's very upset.
With so much evidence for evolution, I had a physical anthropologist on the show once.
I remember.
For an hour.
Eugenie Scott.
Dr. Eugenie Scott.
Legendary evolution creationist debater.
Yeah, she was on PBS.
Oh, yeah.
Within a few weeks of being on my show
mm-hmm.
on a national debate, evolution or creation. And wasn't she the one at the end of the 1 hour? She said, well, I don't debate.
She said she didn't
remember that.
And she said, Bob, you asked her to, I forget what you asked her, but she said, Bob, I'm in my house coat with my cat and it's 10:30 at night.
Right.
I don't debate.
She goes, I don't debate. What are you doing at the end of a 1 hour debate, you dimwit? She was on a national debate on PBS, but she, you know.
She was fairly embarrassed at that moment, Bob. So you've got to cut her a little slack. After all, she's a girl.
Okay.
Come on now. Don't be beating up on the girl.
So anyway. This physical anthropologist, evolutionist,
yeah.
I asked her at the beginning of the show, I said, could you give me three pieces of evidence?
Three pieces. Three.
Three pieces of evidence that any of these things happened, that eyesight evolved, that any of the higher senses evolved, that mobility evolved, that walking evolved, that flying evolved, that bacteria, single-celled creatures evolved an ability to get around. Can you give me evidence for that?
She said, wait a minute, Bob. Evidence is a theological term.
That's what she said!
The Bible is not only a book that shows us the one true God, it's also a book that tells the history of the Jewish people. A history filled with names and places that we can still find the evidence of today. Secular historians have doubted many things the Bible claims, including the existence of King David and the city of Nineveh. Archaeological digs in the Middle East prove over and over the skeptics were wrong and the Bible is correct. Bob recently took a group of people to Israel to see firsthand the evidence that the Bible is historically accurate. We produced a 2-hour video so you can join Bob and see for yourself that at least the history of the Jewish people has been recorded accurately. And if the history of the Bible is true, then the message of the one true God may be true. To see the evidence for yourself, give us a call and ask for Bob's Bible Tour of Israel, available for $19.95.
What are young people in college learning today? In a philosophy class in Michigan, the teacher taught her students, "You can only know that which your five senses tell you." Bob Enyard had a chance to speak to that class, and in one sentence, he annihilated that stupid view that you can only know that which your five senses tell you. Bob asked a simple question. Which one of your five senses told you that that statement is true? The students were dumbfounded. You can see their reaction and follow-up questions to that and many other topics when you order Get Out of the Matrix, a video we've made available for $24.95. Give us a call today at 1-888-8-ENYART. If you have a question or comment, you can write us at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001.
It's Bob Enyart live on the Information Radio Network, booming across the Permian Basin in West Texas. And Bob, that's something I need to remind the audience about. If you folks out there in the Permian Basin are listening to Bob Enyart live and you like what you hear...
Why do they call it the Permian Basin? I keep hearing that.
Well, Permian I would have to find out about, but the basin is because...
That's
well,
one
it's
of these geologic
like a,
ages.
Yeah.
And so they're
right.
Saying it was underwater.
It was underwater, they say.
So what? The whole world was underwater.
I know. But they take a certain amount of pride in the fact that they were underwater.
That'd be like naming Denver on Earth.
Well, the Permian Basin, Bob. There's about 200,000 people in the Permian Basin.
Oh, that's a large population.
So there's a lot of people to reach
now. That's
down
a
there.
Great audience.
There,
and
a lot
it's
of
oil
people.
Country, isn't it?
It is oil. There's pump jacks as far as the eye can see down there.
You grew up in the Permian
grew
Basin?
Grew up in McCamey, Texas, in the heart of the Permian Basin. Yeah. Well, maybe not the heart. Maybe like the outer thigh of the Permian Basin.
Okay.
I was kind of out on the fringes. But,
how about the thyroid?
It was an interesting place to grow up. It was.
I always get confused with the guys that work on the oil fields. I always want to call them leathernecks.
No,
but they're Marines.
Yeah, leatherneck would be a Marine. That you're thinking of a roughneck.
Roughneck.
Right.
That's
and
right.
I think they call them that because they work out in that West Texas sun all the time.
Yeah.
And their neck is a lot like leather.
Oh.
But they're called roughnecks. And then you got roustabouts, too.
Roustabouts.
But we'll go. That's for another show. We can't get started on that. Right. But the important thing is that you folks out there in the Permian Basin, if you like what you hear, we need you to call in, and we need you to help us to keep the show on the air.
Oh, that's right.
Because this show stays on the air through the donations, the financial support of the audience, whether they call in and buy products or they can call in and underwrite the show. $25 a month, $50, $100 a month.
And they could say, we want this money to go to Quad K 101.3 to keep Bob Enyart live on the air. And that's where it will go. And boy, we'd be thrilled because we want to stay on the air in Texas.
So I think all members of the Permian Basin need to sign up, past and present. So I'm going to sign on right now. I'm going to support Bob monthly to keep the show on the air.
Who is?
I am.
You are.
Yeah, because I grew up.
You do the show.
Here's the thing, Bob. I grew up down in West Texas.
He buys the products.
I want.
You can't support
the
show. You're on the show.
I want to. There's a lot of people who I grew up with in West Texas who always thought that I would be a moron and a loser. So we need to stay on the air long enough.
For them to be convinced. They're going to say, that Doug McMurdy's a wacko.
Right.
He's on Bob Enyart Live.
We
voted him most likely to be an absolute lunatic. And listen to him.
No, they voted me.
Because, Doug, most people think if you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Which I'm not.
They think you are a lunatic.
Right. Well, see, I want to prove to them that I didn't turn out to be a slacker loser. I'm just a lunatic and a psycho Christian.
That's right. And, you know, when you say that adultery should be recriminalized.
A crime.
Should be a crime
to
seduce your neighbor's wife. That should be a crime.
Yeah.
And that pornography should be outlawed. That people think you're a lunatic.
Wow. That pretty strong word. Those are fighting words.
How about forget homosexuality?
Oh, you don't even want to.
Oh, I wish I could.
That's where, you know, I found that people are a lot more, they're easier to reason with on adultery than they are on homosexuality for some reason.
That's a good
point. They seem to intuitively know that adultery is a, they might not want to admit it's a crime, but they know it's wrong intuitively. But homosexuality, it seems like they have to, in order to consider themselves enlightened and intellectual, they have to take the side of the homo.
Why do you think somebody like Bill Clinton would promote homosexuality so forcefully? Do you think he likes hanging out with homos?
Oh, I seriously doubt he likes hanging out with homos.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think he'd like to hang out with some limp-wristed guys in a reading room of a public library?
Maybe I'm dense, but I don't see it.
You don't see it?
I just don't see it.
That's when Clinton was reelected.
Yeah.
Or was it his first election? I can't recall. I was on the radio.
Yeah.
And the audience was so depressed.
Yeah, I remember.
And they said, there's no way he could win. I'm like, no way. What are you talking about? So there's no way he could win. Well, he won. Everybody's depressed. I said, well, let's thank God. And they, what could you thank? Let's thank God that he likes girls.
That's one
thing we know. At least he likes girls. It could be worse.
It could be worse.
They thought it couldn't be worse.
So maybe it was a strategy. It was one of Bill Clinton's triangulation strategies. The more guys he can get to turn homo, the more chicks for him.
Available right? for him.
I don't know. Maybe he had a plan.
I remember when he was running for office the first time.
Yeah.
I'm on radio in Denver, and we were asking the women in the audience to send in signed affidavits, notarized.
Yeah.
And we would put them all together and send them all together to the Democratic National Committee, stating that they never had an affair with Bill Clinton. That was in his first presidential campaign. Now let's go to, where are we going now?
We're going to the Permian Basin.
The Permian Basin. Jim, you're on Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, this is Jim from Big Spring, Texas.
Jim from Big Spring. I've been to Big Spring. It's quite a town you got out there.
What time we have? It is now 8:51.
All right. All right, Central Time.
Hey, Jim.
And we're not flooded out.
Jim, where does the word Permian come from? Do you know?
I have no idea.
It's geologic age.
It's tied in some way with the big oil industry here.
Okay. Well, what's happening down in there?
That's when all the oil was formed. And actually, all the oil was formed right after the flood.
Yeah. Oh, it boomed for years. I used to live in Houston. I've hauled a lot of oil well casing up in this country.
So, Jimmy, you done some roughnecking in your time?
No, I drove a truck, worked for a truck line.
Well, good for you. What's happening down there in the Permian Basin? Jim, why are you calling us this evening?
Well, I heard you say y'all never did hear from Permian Basin.
Oh, good. Thank you for
and
calling.
And that we were flooded out here.
No, we didn't say you were flooded. What I was trying to explain to Bob, Jim, is that the Permian Basin at one time used to be completely underwater. But we're talking thousands of years ago.
Yeah, we don't mean it was flooded recently.
No, we certainly hope not.
Hey, Jim, but let me ask you this. Do you remember the terrible floods we had in the Midwest back about 10 years ago?
Yes.
You know why that happened, Doug? I don't know if you ever saw the research on this, but Hillary Clinton, they had just been elected, and she brought all the dikes to D.C. That was it. Country was a mess for 5 years.
Left all those people up and down the Mississippi and eye water.
Hey, Jim, thank you for letting us know people are still there in the Permian Basin.
I got two little things I'd like to say.
All right, go ahead.
Got to go quick, Jim.
What's his name, Rusty?
Rusty, yes. Yeah.
One thing he needs to learn, that every time he opens his mouth, he throws his ears out of gear.
And that's from a trucker.
That's some
Texas
wisdom.
And another thing, I would never dare to, I shudder at the thought of a child growing up with a lesbian family.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely
right. And
get it right.
Old enough to go to school.
Oh.
Jim, you sound like a guy who I wouldn't mind riding from Big Spring all the way to Monahans with. Sound like a good guy.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm writing an article now on that. Are there still demons?
Oh, all right. Well,
fax it to us, Jim.
Jim, thank you very much. There's a spiritual war. People in the media, the liberals, they mock that. But there's God, there's the devil, and God and the devil are not equals. And my father, God, could whoop your mother, Earth.
Amen, brother.
And there is a spiritual battle. That's absolutely right.
How cool was that to hear from the Permian Basin?
That was great.
You know what's great
from
about
a trucker, no less.
People down there, especially guys like Jim, they're not in any big hurry. Hmm. You know, it's a real comfortable, laid-back lifestyle they got going.
And, you know,
there.
To conservative Christians, truckers are heroes. They're the heroes of the fabric of society. Because of them, we can have fuel and have warm houses for our little kids.
That's right.
Like, we've got three little kids in our house, 4, 2, and 1.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
Yeah, oh, man.
Then we got teenagers.
Not so cute.
Not as cute.
I don't know.
But
the spiked hair.
We keep a nice, warm house in the coldest March on record since the 60s.
That's right.
Because of global warming. And I thank God for people like Jim.
Jim, hauling casing across the desert
in
Texas.
I don't have time to do that.
Right, we can't do that kind
but
of stuff.
But to liberals, he's the enemy.
No.
Because he's...
He's raping the earth.
That's right.
Amen. Thanks, Jim.
He might spill oil on the ground. It comes from the ground. Don't be so paranoid, you lunatic liberals. It comes from the ground. If you spill it on the ground, it's back on the ground.
Well, I tell you, I like to think, Bob, that there's a lot of people in the Permian Basin who listen to the show and they wonder, who are all these wacky liberals that these two guys are talking about? Because it's a fairly conservative area.
It is?
It's like the buckle of the Bible.
And
belt.
It's not flooded. I'm glad
it's
to
know
that.
Flooded out. But, it's not flooded
but
out.
But when Hillary brought all the dikes to D.C., it really was. I mean, it almost seemed like that's what triggered
wasn't
it.
Wasn't it funny how those floods coincided with the election of Hillary Clinton?
And Jesus came to undam the dikes.
That's amen, brother.
Jesus came to undam the dikes. And if there's a homosexual or a lesbian listening to this program, you don't have to be enslaved to your perversion. Yeah. Homosexuals have drained the cup of lust to its dregs. Mm. And that's why there's overwhelming alcohol and drug abuse in the homosexual community.
Yeah.
And depression and suicide. And their suicide rate and their murder rates are sky high compared to the normal population.
Well, Bob, you know why that is, though, right? It's because of all the heterosexual oppression that goes on.
Oh, yeah, like
that's what it is.
In Hollywood, maybe?
That's right.
How about, my wife and I saw 3 Broadway plays last year. How about on Broadway? You know, there must be a lot of heterosexual oppression on Broadway, huh?
Yeah.
If you're not a homo, you can't be a waiter in the theater district.
No.
Never mind on the stage in a Broadway play. You can't get into they call it there, the gay mafia.
The gay mafia.
That's what they call it in New York City. You cannot get a bit part on a Broadway play unless you're a homo, if you're a guy. Unless you're a big, famous, you know, celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could. Well, but not otherwise.
Well, I'll tell you what. Down in Texas, they don't let you in the theater if you're queer.
Wow.
They don't even let you in the theater.
Well, then Rusty is part of that group, U.S. Queers.
U.S. Queers, except Texas.
He'd be in trouble.
They have not yet.
They got a lot of homos in Houston.
Homos are pouring out of the closet.
They got a lot of homos in Houston.
And it's our job to shove them back in there. Just get back in the closet and shut up.
I don't know that I want them in the closet. I'd rather the enemy I can see than the enemy I can't see.
Well, I'm just sick of hearing about it is all.
I'm glad they're out of the closet. That way we can confront them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the enemy is. But anyway, and hopefully we get some of them saved.
Hey, speaking of Texas, Bob.
Yeah.
Listen to this. On March 20th.
Yeah.
A convicted killer whose left leg was amputated last year was to be executed Thursday night. He had his last wish was that he'd be able to get an artificial limb so he could walk to the death chamber.
Oh, great.
Well, the judge said, forget about it. We're going to put you to death, right?
That's a Texas judge?
A Texas judge.
See?
But then guess what happened?
What?
Well, the governor stepped in on Thursday,
no.
Unfortunately.
Oh, no.
The governor stepped in on Thursday, Governor Rick Perry.
Don't you hate it when governors step in?
Especially in a one-armed, one-leg bandit case like this. Rick Perry gave a condemned inmate a 30-day reprieve moments before he was to be executed.
Oh, great.
So he can be fitted with an artificial limb so that he can walk to his death.
Great.
With dignity.
Not only that, before they inject him, they're going to put alcohol on him to kill all the germs.
Hey, listen to what the murderer had to say about the governor's decision to allow him a reprieve.
Yeah.
He said, I've got strong faith, and therefore it was in God's hands what to do with me.
What a tragedy.
He says it was God's will.
To accuse God of that injustice. God says, if you don't execute the sentence swiftly, then you're going to have a crime epidemic, and that's what we have.
That's what's happening.
God says you swiftly execute. You don't wait 15 years and then another 30 days so the guy could go on his...
get a prosthesis. God
that's
says...
disgusting.
God says...
You know, we used to have old Sparky.
Yes.
Electric chair.
Yeah, I know.
And now we put...
The nice
put alcohol.
Needle. The needle goes in.
We should have old Rusty. Just use the same needle. Never clean it. Same needle. And just... jab it in there.
Are you sure you're not from Texas?
But really, if we had the swift, painful death penalty for every convicted murderer, we would not have a crime epidemic in America, and we Christians would be able to save, over 10,000 murder victims a year.
Yeah.
We'd save them, and then the criminals wouldn't become murderers either. We'd save them too. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right, and thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
And risk the consequences.